This is Imam Sadiq Abdullah Hassan, calling from Ohio State Penitentiary in Youngstown. That is Ohio State of the Art Supermax Prison. Better yet, its torture chamber. To everyone who has made this re-examining Lucasville conference a reality, from the deepest recesses of my heart, I want to say thank you. Due to time's constraint, there's no need for me to mention you by name, for you already know who you are. Likewise, I want to say thank you to all those in attendance, especially to our distinguished guests who will be speaking over the next few days. With that, let us begin. For two decades, I've been hearing that the Lucasville Rebellion was about Muslim refusal to take the TB test. And I'm sure you've been hearing the same thing. Take it from me, someone who has firsthand knowledge. That's a blatant lie. I will admit that the Lucasville disturbance was about Muslims' refusal. Indirectly, it was about Muslim refusal to take the TB test. However, with regards to the Muslim, our position, we had only intended to barricade ourselves inside of a block to get central office attention and hope that they would intervene and allow us to take an alternative test, that also that they would intervene and stop warden Arthur Tate from forcing us to take a test that was infringement upon our religious belief. Again, we had no problems wanting to take a TB test. We understand that there was a public health issue at stake. But what we had a problem with is taking a test, the Mantou tuberculin skin test, which contains phenol, an alcoholic substance, which would be infringement upon Muslims to have injected under their forearm. So we made it perfectly clear to Warden Arthur Tate Jr. and his subordinates that we had no problem taking alternative. We asked them to allow us to take a sputum specimen, a chest X-ray. They could quarantine us. And we even made a suggestion that if they could remove the phenol substance, which is an antiseptic substance, and allow us to take the betadine, we'd be willing to even submit to that. So again, our intention was to have a peaceful protest. And when we initiated trying to barricade ourselves into a particular block, what happened was the guards, the staff that was on hand at that particular time, they left their post out of fear. They panicked. They overreacted to what was happening. And when prisoners seen, young black prisoners, young black revolutionaries, when they seen the prison authorities leaving their post, they decide to turn what was intended to be a peaceful protest into a...
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
They decided spontaneously to turn a peaceful protest into a full-scale rebellion. So, again, I may agree and accept the fact that there was intended to be a peaceful protest about the TB test, and that may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. But that was not the reason why there was a protest. Again, it became a full-scale rebellion when guards left their post and young revolutionaries took it among themselves to start attacking staff and prisoner snitches and their sympathizers. Now, with regards to the TB test, some may ask the question, well, since you are prisoners and don't possess any right, why didn't you just take the test and the matter would have been resolved? That's easier said than done. First of all, as prisoners, we do have rights. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a case called Turner versus Safley, it has clearly stated that just because one comes to prisoner and the doors close behind them, they do not forfeit their constitutional rights. There are certain factors that must be considered before prison authority deny prisoners their constitutional rights. For example, what type of allocation or what it calls upon the state, or two, or is there an alternative method to justify the mean? And since there were an alternative method, and we had proposed them to Warden Tate, and he had refused to accept it, to adopt a hardline approach, we felt the only thing that we could do to be able to adhere to the tenets of our faith but I have not had my alcohol ejected under our forearm, is to have a peaceful protest and bring it to the attention of central office. And as a result of that, the Muslims' initiation to have a peaceful protest, and that's not just me saying it, it's not self-serving. One of the state's key witnesses, who was a Muslim, who took the stand and testified on behalf of the state, he himself said what the Muslims' intention were. So it's not self-serving coming from me this late in the game. This is what the state witnesses have actually said. So the state feel if it was never, if the Muslims had never took a stand and intended to have a peaceful protest, there would have never been a riot. We'd have never lost one of our colleagues, Corrections Officer Bobby Vallandigham. He died in the process, and nine other prisoners. And it's unfortunate that it happened. So they hold the Muslims responsible for the Guard's murder. Although the Muslims had absolutely nothing to do with the Guard's murder, they hold us responsible for it. People have asked me, why was I singled out? Why me of all persons? First of all, I was the Muslim, the Imam. I was the Muslim prayer leader and spiritual leader. And there's a prophetic tradition that basically says to appoint someone as a leader is to cut his throat with a blunt instrument. Being a leader is a very delicate situation. And if you cannot hold anybody else responsible, at the very least, you can hold the leader responsible. As President Obama usually says, the buck stops here. So the prison officials, holding that concept in mind, they've said that if it would never been an intent to have a peaceful protest, we have never lost one of our co-workers, Officer Robert Vallandigham. So that's why the charges were thrown on me. But what happened is this. This is how I got indicted with regards to Vallandigham.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
This is how I got indicted with regards to Vallandigham's murder. There was three prisoners, and to not to confuse you, just focus on the name Kenneth Law. There was three prisoners. They knew that the most important case that the state was interested in was the murder of Officer Vallandigham. They got together and they decided to concoct this story. They was going to go to the highway patrol and the prosecutor and tell them that they knew who committed the Guard's murder, etc. In the process of Law going to these the highway patrol and the prosecutor, he told them the story. They didn't believe his story. They gave him a polygraph test. He failed the polygraph test, and as a result, they end up indicting him for capital murder and the kidnapping of the guard himself. They put him on trial. He got found guilty for the kidnapping, but he received the hung jury for the guard's murder. As a result, his lawyer and the prosecutor came to him stating that if he didn't testify against myself and another Muslim by the name of Namir Abdul Mateen, also known, formerly known as James Ware. So Law decided to testify against us, and he said in open court in my trial that the agreement that he made with the state is that he was supposed to testify to the truth of his statement. How could he testify to the truth of his statement when you gave him a polygraph test, and prior to giving him a polygraph test, you didn't believe what he said? He failed the polygraph test. Now all of a sudden, he becomes this truthful witness. And this is how I end up getting indicted.